You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
Hump day! What up, y'all? H-Town, it's another day and another show. It's Barry Laminack, Joel Blank, Nick Sharara behind the glass. We are here from 1 to 4. We hope to kick some tail as we talk about the latest and greatest in sports news and otherwise around the Houston area and the globe. And I know you guys, it's like going to the dentist. It's painful because you're just not big baseball fans unless the Astros are involved. But last night, by the way, in case you missed it, the baseball playoffs got underway with the wild card game in the American League between the Orioles and the Blue Jays. And dare I say, another instant classic. It was really good. It was really late for a lot of you. It was extra innings. And in the end, it was the Blue Jays prevailing on a long three-run home run to win the game. But there are plenty of questions that abound because of the way everything went down. The Orioles featuring a possible Cy Young candidate, their relief pitcher, one of the best pitchers in baseball, Zach Britton, never sees the field. And in the process, Buck Showalter, the manager of the Orioles, is now firmly on the hot seat. Actually, I give him credit for stepping up and answering the questions and trying to give some kind of clarity to his decision to not use him. But there was lots of questions about the game. Barry, I bring you in. We both like baseball. We both watched the game. Better than expected for a wild card game, but for the most part, baseball's lucked out that these wild card games have been pretty decent. That one was a good one last night for those that were able to stay up and watch the end of it.
Fun game. It was,
yeah, I don't know what's going on here. Nick,
I'm hearing
Barry, but okay. Are we good now?
There we go. All right. Yeah, I had to turn it on. I didn't know if you did. Hi! Welcome to the show, Barry.
There you are.
Hey, I do want to point out, I heard you open the show by saying, what's up, y'all?
Yep.
I'm very proud of you. How long have you lived in Texas?
23 years.
Okay. So that's about right then. You should be using
I y'all. Use y'all. I just have always made a pact with myself when I came here that I would never wear cowboy boots, big buckle, or a hat.
Okay. Three things I've not worn.
But I do use y'all.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I'm proud of you. You are embracing the culture.
Let me just say, the alternative, if I talked like
Yunes
from back home.
Yunes?
It could be a lot of things, but they all sounded about as uneducated as possible.
Oh, no. What would it be?
Yeah, you guys.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You guys, for sure. Don't you know? Yeah. You betcha.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All them kind of things up there from here, from the Midwest to the... If you're a Youper, you know what a Youper is?
No.
Upper Peninsula people. Oh, it gets worse.
I beg you to please talk like this forever.
Oh, geez, I tell you. And then everybody that doesn't know will go, hey, you saw the movie Fargo. No, I lived my life in Milwaukee.
I love that accent so much. Oh,
I tell everybody. It lowers your IQ by at least like 50 points just by hearing it.
No, it's making love to my ears right now. It is terrible. So good.
Terrible.
Nick, you like it, don't you?
Yeah, I like it when he's mocking it. I think it's funny. Is that exactly how they sound?
Yes. Yes. It's perfect.
In a lot of ways. Like, and my, like my best friend back home, I'll get, I pride myself on not talking like that. If I get on the phone with him for any length of time, by the end of it, my wife will go, "You talked to Sean just now, didn't you?" And I'll be like, "Yeah, you know, me and Shawnee were just catching up a little bit."
A? Do you drop an A every once in a while?
I can't do that.
No?
But they do.
Yeah.
My mom actually didn't think she had an accent, and she definitely had the that kind of. It's a quack twang is what it is.
Of all the accents, it might be my favorite. Painful. No, no, it's good. I like it.
I love the Southern accent.
Don't say no. Man, all right. Well, sorry. I just had to point that out.
Sure.
Yeah, great game.
Yep.
Lots of fun. I fell asleep. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie. I was one of the dudes. I fell asleep at top of the 10th. But I know myself, and I recorded it, so I was able to finish watching it and the next morning. And yeah, man. I don't know. I don't know if I 1,000% agree with everybody, including the media, that's saying that Showalter made a huge mistake by not putting in his closer right away. Right now, to me, if you're gonna trot Jimenez out there, okay. I mean, the dude had pitched good in September. I think he was 2-1. He had a sub 2.5 ERA, something like that. So you can't knock him for that. And I think he had just had a good game against the Blue Jays in the last couple of weeks leading into this playoff game or this wild card game. So I understand the logic, because what if he goes out there and he holds them, and now you get a lead in the next inning or any of the innings, you know, therefore after. Then you need a closer to come in and secure that lead and win the game for you. So I understand the logic by what he was doing, but I think once you've got two men on and one out, then it's time to bring in your closer, because now a sac fly or anything else, a base hit, something, you're going to lose the game, and that's what you save your closer for. So I think once that happened, I would have yanked Jimenez after he gave up those two hits. So that was my fault. I mean, I don't think, you know, Britton should have started the inning, but I certainly think he should have finished it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, and I understand your point of view. And look, it's kind of a fine line, because you do want to be in a position where if you do have the lead or you really get into a sticky spot, that you've got your best pitcher in order to get you out. But the other thing is, because if you don't use it at the right time and all of a sudden it gets out of hand or the game gets past you and you're in the position that Buck Showalter's in, now the rebuttal to that would be, well, if I'm going to war, I want to make sure all my ammo's out there by the end of the day. Yep. So I want to use every resource that I had going down fighting until the bitter end, and then realizing maybe the better team beat me. But because I left my big gun on the bench, maybe then I open myself up to more criticism because I was waiting for a moment that never came. And in the process, then it looks like I didn't put everybody out there and put the team in the best position to win. So it's a tough call. Here's what I'd say. More so than that, and I understand him saying how Ubaldo Jimenez has been their second best pitcher over the last 6-7 appearances and starts. He's a starter coming in as a reliever. I would have yanked him before he had the chance. But the bigger thing that I think he should be scrutinized on, and I think Pedro Martinez finally touched on this in the postgame show, Encarnacion is just a big bat. He's a home run hitter, and if he's not a home run hitter, he's going to hit a lot of big fly balls. So that's going to score for the runner from third base anyway. I would have walked him and taken my chances with Russell Martin. He's a catcher. He's not fast. He could hit into a double play. And then you get out of the inning that way, and you set yourself up a lot better. Even though Martin did have 20 home runs this year, he's just not the same kind of hitter as Encarnacion. And I don't think he has the quicker bat of the two of them. So I think I would have walked Encarnacion, loaded the bases, and said, I'll take my chances with Russell Martin trying to hit them into a game-winning fly ball, base hit, or otherwise. And I'll maybe get lucky and get him into a double play.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly some sound logic in that, right? I mean, if you can set up the force at any base, you never know what's going to happen. You can set up a double play at any of the starting at any of the bases as opposed to just second. I think it makes sense, but I think the bigger issue to me was why you're not bringing in your closer with the imminent threat of a run, because mm-hmm. that's what you save that guy for.
Right.
But and maybe you have, you know, if you have Jimenez walk Encarnacion, okay, and then you bring in Britton at that point instead of letting Jimenez try to get out of the inning, because at that point you're trying to get out of the, you know, he's getting out of the season essentially by giving up the home run. So yeah, I mean, it's a good point. You could walk him. I just don't know. I mean, the run is already out there, right? That runner on third is already there. But, you know, setting up the double play would probably help. But I think the big key to that is once you do that, you got to bring in your closer.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the end result, regardless of whether you thought that it was managed the right way by Buck Showalter or not, is you get the series that a lot of people really wanted to see. I mean, I saw it even in the stands before this game was decided. Blue Jay fans, we want Odor. We want the Rangers taking all kinds of shots at Texas. We all know what happened last year and then this year, the carryover, because Joey Bats hits the game winner to the series clincher to beat the Rangers last year, did the bat flip. Everybody wondered, would there be any retaliation? And then, of course, the retaliation that made for spectacular sports viewing was the fact that he got dotted, to use a baseball term, but he got hit. He got on base. He tried to make up a double play by sliding into Odor. And Odor showed that if he doesn't have a career in baseball, he definitely could be a street fighter, because he threw a haymaker to Joey Bats' jaw, and that set off both teams running onto the field, and the floodgates ensued. It's going to be a fun series, regardless of if you're a huge baseball fan or not, or just an Astros fan, Nick. I mean, the fact of the matter is, there's a lot more drama because these two teams are in it.
Did you just draw a line between a baseball fan and an Astros fan? Are you saying Astros don't play baseball?
No, I've said based on our discussion yesterday.
You heard that, right, Nick?
Right, but based on our discussion yesterday, if the Astros aren't in it, you don't care. Yeah, so you're a fan of the team, not the game. I'm a fan of the game, and I'm going to watch the teams.
I got you.
So there you go. So whether you're a fan of the team or the games, will you watch or be more likely to watch because of the fact that it's two teams that may just throw down in an instant, which I love. Maybe you do too. 713-780-ESPN on the text line or calls, or you can tweet us at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel, at No Hit Nick. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
I'm not sure this is the kind of music you can hear on other stations, Nick. I'm just saying. All I know is I enjoy it. Nick Sharara behind the glass, along with Joel and Barry till 4, and we've just verified on the hotline that the one, the only, the NFL vet of 17 years, Keenan McCardell, will join us at 3:30 up until 4 o'clock. So put that ear in your memory bank and smoke it, because if you have questions for K-Mac and things you want to go over with him, including things like the matchup when you start talking about the Vikings against the Texans, and, you know, are they going to use the same kind of shutdown mentality that they used on OBJ when you see D-Hop and company and the Texans on Sunday at noon? Those are questions that if you want to ask Keenan about and other things, let us know. You can tweet us. You can tweet him. You can send it to the show. 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter. And Barry, we were discussing the baseball game last night. It's kind of neat for those of us that enjoy baseball that the playoffs are here. And once they are here, they do get going.
Oh, yeah.
And tonight will be wild card game number 2. Before we get to that, the other thing that really stood out to me that I thought about organically talking to you about today after watching the game was, you know, I love the passion that I saw in Toronto last night. You know, and I was thinking about this too from the standpoint of, from a fan base perspective, the Toronto fan base, which has been down across the board, that, you know, they have to endure Grey Cup football. That's
right.
We already apologized ahead of the game for that.
Yeah.
But then on top of it, the Raptors were always really bad. And they started, all of a sudden now they're good. The Blue Jays with a big series win last year and doing some things in the playoffs, back at it again this year. First time they've gotten back-to-back playoff appearances, I think, since they did the two that got them the World Series championships. So a lot of things going right for Toronto. That's cool. The crowd was buzzing. They were all into it. Every time there was a rally, the towels were going and everybody's wearing Blue Jays gear. I loved all that.
Lots of posters with names of people they love and want to see stick around because they're probably bolting.
Yeah, because Joey agency. Bats and Encarnacion, free agents, maybe leaving. And the other thing was that they're actually saying, I don't know if you saw the one Rogers Center. Right. So Rogers is evidently a phone company. And a guy said, "Hey, Rogers," there was a sign right above the dugout. "Hey, Rogers, if you don't re-sign Encarnacion, I'm going to Bell." So he's already threatening to change his service if they don't sign his favorite player.
Like
back.
It's the phone company that's making those decisions, right?
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, there were some good times. But I love the passion of the Toronto fan base. What I didn't love was in the seventh inning. of a tie game, fly ball out in the outfield to the left fielder for the Orioles, who, as he was going to squeeze it, a pretty much full can of beer came flying down. Thankfully, not close enough to hit him, close enough to really, really scare everyone. And Adam Jones, the center fielder for the Orioles, was livid, as he should have been. And then, you know, a lot of discussion ensued. They never looked like they found the guy. And what I don't like is, with all the cameras that are employed for a national game like this, right? And especially because they have the same kind of technology as they have for football, you can zoom in. They had an angle down the left field line that went into the stands where the ball was caught, and you could probably zoom in enough to figure out who did it. And it becomes that kind of fine line, like they don't want to show a guy that runs onto the field because they don't want the attention that the guy obviously wants and the exposure. But in this case, you want to make an example of this ass clown to basically say, what you did was absolutely ludicrous. And I agree with Ernie Johnson, who said, this guy should be banned from every park in baseball for life for doing something this stupid that could have affected the game. But I really thought they could have done more to show the that they apprehended him and to find the guy.
Well, first of all, props to Hyunsoo Kim for not dropping that ball,
right?
Because you can see the beer. I would have looked. I mean, I certainly would have looked away, but maybe that's why I'm not a professional athlete, because he kept his eyes focused on the ball, made the catch, even though you could probably see it. He could see it out of his peripheral vision, that can falling on the ground next to him. And then he looks up and he's kind of like, what happened? You know, and then that's when Adam Jones comes running over and starts screaming and pointing. Apparently, I don't know if it was the fan, but a fan started yelling racial slurs at both of them. I saw a report this morning.
I did not see that.
Which
that,
is
that makes
really
it even worse.
Sad. It's really, really sad. One, that you have to do something like that as a fan. So while I agree that that fan should have been thrown out and ejected and barred from any games further in every major league park, I doubt very seriously that that guy's going around to, you know, a bunch of American parks and watching baseball. But at least banned from Toronto, from the Toronto ballpark. Probably arrested for that as well. But I don't know that I would have shown him, because then you're giving people that opportunity to get famous, to get their 15 minutes. Don't show it. Or at least just show them being escorted off in handcuffs or arrested. But yeah, I have a feeling that Buck Showalter came storming onto the field. And if you're a lip reader, I could see him mouth the words that this is something to the effect of, this is not going to stand, or this shouldn't be happening. And so he marched straight to the outfield, and I think they took care of it.
I got an update, but first, please say it again. Say the outfielder.
Hyunsoo Kim.
Thank you very much. Okay. Now, if John Granato was here,
uh-huh,
he would tell you that the face that he made after he caught the ball was not the surprise because of the beer can. It's because he, Major League Baseball player, was not implemented along with male golfer, female golfer, or
yeah,
Chinese food.
That's true.
Just to be clear. So I'm reading the update now. And a Blue Jay spokesperson said the fan was not ejected because he took off before police had a chance to get to him. Uh-huh. They're investigating that. Now, today, Toronto police tweeted, investigating beer toss at the game. Unsportsmanlike fan, turn yourself in. We have photos.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's going to happen, right? And at the same time, if you have photos, then you know who the guy is, what he looks like, and with a simple click of the walkie-talkie, you can probably let everybody around the stadium know, this is the guy we're looking for, this is what he's wearing, and make sure you get an end to this before it gets to this point, because now this guy is probably never going to get caught.
Nope.
And I'm sure whatever he wore is like in a garbage can dumpster fire right now so that you'll never see it again, and he gets away with it. And I just think it's a travesty, and it was definitely a black eye on what was a very well-played, exciting baseball game to open up the baseball playoffs.
Yeah, it's a shame. Fans are idiots sometimes, and mm-hmm, they go a little too far. And, you know, I've never had a problem with the streaker or the guy that runs on the field as long as it's just harmless fun. But something like that, I mean, there's a lot of things that could have happened. You know, he could have turned away to look and been hit in the head with a ball. I mean, you don't know what could happen when you do something stupid like that, man. Yeah, it's a shame that fans feel the need to do and get involved.
Then Jones takes it just a step too far. because he basically encourages fans to throw other things, just don't throw a beer can. His quote after the game, I hope they find the guy and press charges. Kim wasn't looking, and you can hit him in the back of the head. You never know what could happen. It's a full beer being thrown. It's not part of the sport. To put us in harm's way when all we're doing is focusing on the game, that's not part of baseball. Throw an octopus, throw hats, do something like that. The quote was fantastic.
Who said that?
Adam Jones.
Throw an octopus.
But until you get to the last sentence, you're good. And then he goes with the hockey reference. Throw an octopus. Throw hats as if, you know, a hat trick. But do something like that. Come on, Adam. That last line.
An octopus.
That just gave an open door for more jocularity that you don't need.
Oh, wouldn't it be great now if the Rangers fans start throwing octopuses and hats?
Don't put it past them.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, it is Dallas.
Right. So you got that, which you can consider. And then the other thing I don't like is then because Jones was so adamant and demonstrative about what was going on that they booed him every time he came to the plate he was, you know, villain number one.
Yeah.
And all dude was doing was standing up for his teammate and saying, it's not part of the game, man. It's just uncalled for.
Yeah, it's silly. It's silly that they would boo him, but I get it. I mean, you know, if that was here at Minute Maid and there was an Astros fan that did something stupid like that and, you know, the Rangers center fielder goes over there and does, you're going to boo him, but it is kind of silly, but I don't understand. Do they sell cans of beer at Minute Maid?
No, not at Minute Maid, but
what the hell are they doing selling full cans of beer? I mean, that's what happens.
Rules like, are if you have up a north, plastic you know.
Cup, but yeah, if you have a plastic cup full of beer, when you chunk it, by the time it gets to its intended target, it's empty, and now it's just a soft plastic can that just flutters to the ground.
I also have to question the broadcasters who kept saying it was a water bottle.
Yeah, those are that. It was
it's
obvious.
Slow motion, and it's right there and live and in living color. Just pay enough attention. You know, it's like the post-game show guys at Turner last night. Basically, the guy in studio who was way too opinionated and expertise-like for a guy that no one knew, looking like Poindexter from math class, telling the guys, it's time to put your shoes on. It's time to get your jackets back on. It's time to work because with Jimenez in the game, it's over. Seriously? I understand. Sean Salisbury has earned the right to say it's over, Johnny. But Poindexter from math class, who's hosting the post-game show with Pedro Martinez, Gary Sheffield, and Jimmy Rollins, you're not good. You do not have that right. So I just want to clarify that right now. We got much more to get to, including calls and some calls, including our man Brian wants to talk about Tom Herman and the fact that his name just can't stay out of the mouths of people who have an expertise-like opinion when it comes to college football. We'll get to that and more. ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. Don't miss the Woodlands Gun Show at the Legend Sports Complex this weekend. Hundreds of tables of guns, knives, ammo, and accessories. Come and buy, sell, or trade. Whether you're a first-time buyer or looking for that special piece to add to your gun, knife, ammo, or military collection, we have it all under one roof. Call 817-732-1194 or visit woodlandsgunshow.com. The Woodlands Gun Show at the Legend Sports Complex this weekend only. Don't miss this show. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel and Barry till 4 with a steady dose of Nick the Quick behind the glass. Keenan McCardell at 3:30, and we started off by talking baseball playoffs. And let me just say this, my man Lamont, and I actually tweeted him this, but my man Lamont, probably, I want to know how much coffee he's had, because he kicked it into fifth gear at about like 8, 9 a.m. this morning, and he's been going full board ever since, and he is fired up. So I'm giving him the platform today, because there's some things that he and I were talking about offline that we can talk about, but for now, you know, he's got some things he wants to say via our first segment and such. So as we normally do, we turn it over to the IT expert that's also a social media icon. At Barry is funny.
Oh, I'm an icon.
And Barry will ruffle through Jim Rome style.
Yeah.
All the tweets, texts, and other things, even though we know electronically you don't do that with paper.
I get the text, the tweets printed out, and then I shuffle through them.
Well, Nick's good for something.
El Jefe said he usually only watches Astros, but with the Rangers versus Toronto, he might. You should. That's must-see TV, man.
Yep.
Chris Jeffrey, who goes by at Crown the Beast, tweeted at me and said that was the most aggressive thing a Canadian has ever done. Which is tweet of the day. If we had a tweet of the day, that's leader in the clubhouse for sure.
Yep.
Josh was worried you were having a stroke when you were doing your Midwest accent.
You so asked me to do it, so I did Otherwise, I wouldn't have done it. I'd have just left it in the closet.
You're not listening, Josh? And Angel Munoz wanted to point out that they do actually have cans of beer at Minute Maid and Modelo in a can, which if you're going to sell a can of beer, I don't know why it would be that one.
Wait, but you get the can? Normally, they just pour it. The vendor will pour it out for you wherever you are, but I don't think that you get the can, do you?
Apparently, you do.
I've never seen it either. So.
I haven't.
So that's it. That is, I like that tweet of the day so far. That was a good tweet. That's the most aggressive thing a Canadian has ever done.
So let's get to Lamont, too.
Okay.
The one that actually was out there for the public. And he's talking about the fact that when you talk about Xavier Rhodes and the Vikings, that, you know, before people fear the Vikings DBs, just remember that what we thought Revis Island was going to do to Hopkins. Well, okay, and I get that. But again, that wasn't the Revis Island of the first stint with the Jets. It's the second. But what I've said all along is, and Barry and I have been, I don't want to say this in a bad way, but we've been at odds. We've been having discussion about the fact that I don't believe in the Vikings secondary as much as you do as a whole.
Yeah.
I believe in one player. I believe in Xavier Rhodes. And you know what? And I heard Granato when he was with Salisbury talking about Xavier Rhodes might be the best D-back in football. I'm not ready to crown him that either just because of one game. But then he went on to say they've got a really, really, you know, good other corner in Terrence Newman. I said it yesterday. Terrence Newman has 86-year-old legs. Terrence Newman was exposed by a Packer offense that didn't know what they were doing and still made sure that they were getting lots of yards and PIs from Terrence Newman. I think Xavier Rhodes is really good, but I think whether it's Fuller or it's D-Hop, one, if not both of those guys, should be able to get off to some degree when they play the Texans.
But you're selling the safeties short as well.
Well, the Vikings safeties are tough. They are very, very good.
Sendejo and Smith are both legit.
Smith is on the cusp of being the best, one of the best
Harrison
in the game.
Smith, absolutely. Yep. So that's why I say, basically what you're saying is you agree with me that their safeties are legit. You agree with me that Xavier Rhodes is legit. What you're saying is Terrence Newman doesn't impress you, but otherwise the other 10 guys on the defense might be the best 10 guys in the NFL. Is that what you're telling me? Come to the dark side, Joe.
No, I can't. First of all, I will never do that because of the fact that I'm a lifelong Packer.
I know, that's why you won't.
But
tell
I
the
watch
truth.
Them with objectivity, just like
tell
I watch the Bears.
Truth. That's
just like
why
just like I tell you the truth about Jay Cutler and the Bears and it ruffles people's feathers around here, and it's the fact and it's the truth, and my man Mo, who calls in and he's a Chicagoite, and so, they'll back me. But from the Vikings standpoint, look, I'm not taking anything away from their defense.
You are, though.
No, they're good. They're not the Broncos. They don't have two lockdown corners. They don't. But I will say this. Their front seven can play with anybody.
And then you said their two safeties are?
And they're safe. The back end of their defense is good. But because of their corners.
And
Rhodes,
top five? Top five corner in the league?
Yes.
Okay. So
but you went. I would say definitely top five.
You're basically saying that Terrence Newman is why you won't crown the Vikings as the best defense.
You crowned them the Baltimore Ravens defense.
No. Don't put words in my mouth.
And then you went back and retracted it.
No, don't put words in my mouth. What I said was like the Ravens, they could lead this team to a Super Bowl.
Nick said
the Broncos of last year.
He said it was like the Super Bowl Ravens. And then he pulled. Then after that he said, I'm not saying they're there yet.
I'll pull the audio at the break.
You're going to need to pull something. But all I know is that I'm not saying they're bad. I just don't think they're as good as the Denver Broncos. And I think it's because of the other corner on the other side.
That I mean, not being as good as the Broncos is a fair argument. But I think what you're saying is that you're discrediting the entire Vikings defense because you don't think Terrence Newman is a decent cornerback.
Nope.
Yeah.
I completely think
it's
that Terrence Newman...
It's that Packer hate, dude. I get it.
In the fact that, look, I mean, when you take the two Denver corners and you compare them with the Vikings corners, the Broncos have a fairly noticeable difference in terms of the level of quality on both sides comparable to each other. So that's what I would say. But are they a top five defense in the NFL? Yes. But do I think the Texans have the weaponry to be able to capitalize on where the Vikings have weakness? Yes, no. I do. Oh. And whether it's Fuller or D-Hop, whichever Rhodes is not on, I believe they have a huge advantage. And this is a game where if you use Fuller's speed and extend the field and make sure that Rhodes is really running long routes and staying with Fuller on deep routes, now you can really capitalize on a great matchup for D-Hop.
All right.
There you have it.
All right. Are we gonna do Brian's?
Well, now it's my responsibility to reel that in and head to the callers.
Well, we told him we would. I didn't want to leave the dude hanging.
We have time. I have my eye on the clock. All right. We're all good.
All right.
All right. So with that, we'll welcome your opinions on the Texans, on the matchup with the Vikings, on all the things that have to do with NFL football. And with that, we also have college football to talk about as we have another big week. And there is more and more talk, thanks to the Four Letter Network, about Tom Herman and the possibility of him going elsewhere and what is going on with the U of H and their head coach. And will he stay or will he go? Brian, you want to talk about that. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Hey, Barry. You are the man. You definitely are funny.
Thanks, man.
Hey, so two-part question here. So why is like the local guy. Media giving Charlie Strong such a pass, considering he's a defensive expert and he has his players in there now? Because I'm afraid he's messing around, going to get fired, and then we're going to lose Tom Herman because I'm a big UH fan. So what do you think? Why is the media give a pass to Charlie Strong, and then do you think Herman will go to UT if they make the playoffs this year? Well, thanks, guys.
First of all, Brian, who's given him a pass? We talked about yesterday that, you know, for as much as other coaches could be on the hot seat, and I think Brian took off, so we appreciate the call, Brian. We'll try and get to as best as possible. But you and I even
Brian's
talked about
a
it yesterday.
Good guy. That Brian knows what he's talking about.
I don't know about that. I mean, he might be a good guy, but the second part.
Smart man, though,
and
Brian.
And I'm chopped liver over here. But at the same time, we talked yesterday about the fact that Charlie Strong is now so firmly on the hot seat, and it's so hot that the rumors are out there either they won't make a change till the end of the season, then other people saying, hey, they may even make a change midseason, which is rare for them. And the biggest thing about whether it's Tom Herman or anybody else, when it comes to going to the University of Texas or anywhere else, the as a U of H supporter, the best chance you got of keeping this guy is you got to get it done as quick as possible to get yourself in the Big 12. Because if you get into a big conference and you know that it's going to give you a lot more flexibility in terms of salary, in terms of the level of opponents, in terms of everything it brings to the table, that could entice Tom Herman to stay. But we know he has Texas ties. We know he's recruiting very well in the state already. So it behooves him to look at an opportunity like Texas because it would be an ideal fit.
All right. I give you that. But here's the thing. If I'm Tom Herman, he is in the perfect position. He's at a school that wants to keep him. Mm-hmm. So they keep up in the ante. They keep paying him more. They're building facilities. They're trying to get themselves into the Big 12 so that they can compete recruiting-wise. He's turning it around already and recruiting better. Don't you think that, I mean, yes, LSU and UT are two great jobs, right? I mean, mm-hmm. UT is probably one of the best jobs in the nation to have. But at the same time, there's other opportunities that are going to come along if you're Tom Herman. So do you have to rush out and...
Well, you don't. But look, Travis said USC wanted him really bad a year ago. And that USC would be knocking on the door again, too, because their coaching situation right now is a disaster again. So, look, he's going to have no shortage of suitors. There's going to be a ton of people bringing the doorbell.
That's the point I'm making. You don't have to grow out and go to LSU because they're the first
two
big program.
Are close to home, which and will affect a ton of recruiting in the Southwest, which you know is gold for college coaches. And because he's already recruited one of arguably the biggest hotbed of college talent in the nation in Houston and in the state of Texas, he can take that and basically go just very close to home and establish himself in two huge programs with open wallets and fat bank accounts in LSU and Texas.
But here's the
thing.
That's
why they're going to be at the top of the list.
I honestly think, and I believe this firmly, I don't think Tom Herman is doing anything during the season. I think if it's going to happen, it's going to happen in the offseason.
I agree with that.
And I think both programs, if they're chasing him, understand that and can wait. That's why they have, you know, a interim head coach, and they were going to wait till the end of the year to fire Charlie Strong. And so now they can go and pursue him in the offseason because he's already gone to the players and said, I'm not going anywhere. And now whether he said, I'm not going anywhere this year or I'm not going anywhere, period, remains to be seen. But what the players said is they said, He came to us and said he's not going anywhere, and that meant the world to us. Even his coaching staff has said he's never come to us and said anything about getting pursued.
I don't think.
I think. So I think. I mean, to answer Brian's question. I think you're safe this year, but I would worry about next year.
Yeah, and I think he was more concerned about Charlie Strong now and the fact that he's on the hot seat. But I don't think Herman's going anywhere. He won't make any decisions or even consider anything till after the season, which is good for U of H.
But I don't think the U of H going to the Big 12 saves him. I think if a better opportunity comes along, he's gone.
We shall see.
Unfortunately.
What do you think? 713-780-ESPN. Chime in, let us know. We are here till 4 o'clock. He's Barry. I'm Joel. Behind the glass is Nick. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank and Barry Laminack till 4 p.m. Keenan McCardell at 3:30. If you have questions for K-Mac and his 17 years of NFL experience leading into Vikings, Texans, or otherwise, text us, tweet us, call us, 713-780-ESPN. We are here for you, and we are getting you in on the show and into the living room so that you can talk with us about anything and everything that comes to mind as we get ready for another strong weekend of football. And speaking of strong, we were talking about Charlie Strong, talking about the fact that he's on the hot seat at UT. Lamont also made sure that he tweeted and said, I know it's all about cream, but UT may want to handle Strong delicately. Other coaches are watching. And I said, quite frankly, not just other coaches, but the entire coaching landscape and the entire nation is watching, because Red McCombs has already set it up with all of his comments to make you believe that they're not exactly taking everything into consideration and doing things the right way when they make decisions. And with that being said, I also go back on the flip side into a conversation that Travis and I have had many times, and I've had with you too as well, Barry, is if you recruit at UT, and you should have a ton of recruits knocking at your door before you even knock on theirs, the fact that you can get any player in the nation, but you can't find a quarterback, drives me nuts. So I understand he's on the hot seat. I don't think it does anybody good at this point to let him go in the middle of the season. You give him the rest of the season, the rest of the Big 12 schedule to try and one more time prove that he is at least making progress. But it just goes to show you the one win against Notre Dame, and already they're in the top 25, and basically that was just one win, and you know, the moon and the stars lined up, and since then they've looked awful. So
the whole quarterback thing, I kind of give him a pass on that, and the reason is these kids coming out of school, first of all, recruiting is such an inexact science. I think we all as college football fans love to hype up when the team that we root for had a great recruiting class. But, you know, I've heard things about how that goes, about the grading and stuff, and it's all subjective. It's all people that are wanting to make a certain team look like they've had a better recruiting class than they have, so they give them better grades or whatever. So I don't think that I put a lot of stock into that, because there's some quarterbacks that come out that are highly recruited that just end up flaming out and fly. I mean, Johnny Manziel, when he came out, he wasn't that highly recruited. I think he was second on the depth chart for a while and won the job in spring ball. So it's one of those things where sometimes you get lucky, sometimes you don't. You go out and you recruit
first
the wrong
of all,
kid.
You're giving more passes than Eli Manning has attempted this year in your passing statistics. So yeah, you're giving a lot of passes.
Sure.
But I look at A&M. The fact that you can be in the situation you're talking about, but the scenario says that you're going to have three or four viable options that were outstanding high school quarterbacks so that you can weed it out until you figure out who the guy is. And if the guy starts out being the guy and then fades off, you have another option that you can stick right in there.
Yeah.
Now, when you're looking at what the Texas did, you know, in week one with the two-headed quarterback and the whole 18-wheel option and all the other things that they were doing, they had a chance to do the thunder and lightning. They had a chance to give themselves options. They had a chance to keep defenses on their heels. It looked like it was a promising situation, and you got a freshman in there with slinging it around you think is going to be around there for 4 years. Well, how quickly it changes in a week, now you're looking at it going, man, I mean, again, that's just one of many glaring weaknesses this program has and shouldn't have, based on the fact that you are the University of Texas and you should be able to get every recruit in the country to at least pay a visit and or pay close attention to wanting to play for the Longhorns.
Totally agree. I'm just saying that, you know, when it comes to the quarterback situation, A&M's another good example of sometimes you get some guys that are highly recruited, but they don't pan out, and it's going to happen. So I give him a pass on that, but I do think that, yeah, he hasn't performed up to what UT standards and expectations
are. Has he had a big enough body of work
sure.
for you to be able to yeah. judge him and say you could fire him this year?
I said yesterday I would wait till the end of the year to fire him.
Okay, but I'm saying, okay,
yeah.
wait till the end of the year, yeah. and the body of work is substantial enough that you can fire him. Because like Travis was saying,
I think so,
that Mac Brown set him back and created such an uneven and unfair landscape for him coming in that he was going to have to do work for years just to get back into the good graces of the recruiting landscape for the state of Texas, Houston, otherwise, that it set him back so far that he needed at least a 5-year window. He needed more time, and you're saying no. Basically, we've had enough time to see the sample size, to see the body of work, to be able to pass judgment and say you had your shot. It didn't work out.
I mean, 3 years. He's been there 3 years, right? He mm-hmm. came on board in 2014, so he's had at least 3 recruiting classes come through. So he should have juniors on this squad under him. I think that's enough. I mean, if he should at least be making progress, he should at least be more competitive than he has been. And I think that's the problem. I think if he was trending in the right direction, that'd be fine. But you go out and you win a big game against Notre Dame, and then you just you choke it all away.
Al, you're calling from Beaumont. You want to chime in on Charlie Strong? What do you got today, my friend?
One of the problems with Charlie Strong is that they never really wanted Charlie Strong. A lot of the boosters when he first got there, most of the players that he had there were decent. He had to run them off because they didn't want to adhere to his guidelines. And you tell me that a coach, after having 2 years, 2 full seasons at a job, even though it's a high-profile job like Texas, and 4 games into the 3rd season, that's a big enough body of work. The only thing that they're seeing at Texas, and Red McCombs pretty much said it, but they keep seeing the color black, because if he was any other highly recruited coach, he would have been given more than 2 seasons and 4 games into the 3rd season before you said to get rid of him. And not to mention, if you look at that Louisville team that's so highly talked about right now, most of those players were Charlie Strong's players when he came to Texas. So it's not that he can't do the job. He's not being given enough time to even turn this program around.
Al, you're absolutely right. Thanks for the call, man. That's great commentary. And I go back to what Lamont said. You know, the fact of the matter is that the whole world of college football, at least the whole nation, is watching what's going on at UT, because Red McCombs and his comments lead you to believe that there's a lot more than X's and O's that are being considered in recruiting when you're looking at this entire situation. The other thing is, from a quarterback perspective, the fact of the matter is that's why I asked the sample size question. Mm-hmm. Is 2.5 leading into a full 3 years, is that going to be a big enough body of work to be able to criticize him? A lot of people said that Mac Brown's recruiting was so bad and that he basically was mailing it in the last couple of years that it really set back whoever took the job at UT, because they're going to have to start from scratch to start reestablishing lines to get in there to try and start the UT bandwagon rolling through cities and picking up talent left and right. I also will say to your comment on quarterbacks that because the state of Texas in the Southwest is so strong in terms of how many quarterbacks they produce, that if you're recruiting as well as UT can, should, and always has in the state of Texas alone, it should be able to get you a handful of quarterbacks that you can choose from and rotate through and have on your roster at any given time. And basically, if guys are unhappy, they can leave. But at the same time, you have your choice, because most people would want to play for UT, and most people believe that it's a breeding ground for the NFL, which it used to be until the last couple of years of Mac Brown.
I mean, you're right in that regard, but I go back to the whole recruiting class thing, right? I mean, let's use an in-state rival in Texas A&M and Kevin Sumlin. Kevin Sumlin came in after Mike Sherman pretty much did the same thing Mac Brown did to the Aggie program, where he just wasn't recruiting. And that goes back even further to the regime before Mike Sherman. But Mike Sherman left the cover pretty bare, except for the fact that he had Johnny Manziel. But Kevin Sumlin came in first year in the SEC, first year head coach, and what did he do? He went 11-2. And that wasn't his recruiting class. So it can be done.
It can, but what I'm saying is, because of what Mac Brown left for Charlie Strong, that's why I think he deserves more time. That's why I side on the fact that it's more like a 5-year window, because of the fact that when you're coming in, you're changing the culture, you're changing the rules in terms of what you expect from your players, and you're also changing the system on both offense and defense, that you need to get your players in the program. And if you can't do it immediately, and there's, you look at what happened in the NFL draft the last couple of years. There wasn't a UT guy 2 years ago, and the previous years before that, a UT guy drafted in like the first, I want to say, 3 rounds, like 3 years ago, and 2 years ago, I don't think there was a UT guy drafted in the first 5 rounds. So that tells you that there was a huge drop-off from when there used to be 2, 3, and 4 UT guys in the first round and into the early stages of the second round. And you look at all the guys in the NFL that we rattle off on a weekly basis that are UT alums, and you go, man, that program has been rolling them out. But lately, that's not the case. And when Charlie Strong took over, it definitely wasn't the case, and it had really fallen off to the point where it seemed like Mac Brown was mailing it in because he wasn't getting recruits and he wasn't keeping him at Texas.
But you keep equating NFL success and talent with what's going on in the program at the college level, and I don't think that...
If they're NFL successful, Barry, don't you think that they're gonna, they should be outstanding on the college level?
There are plenty of good programs out there that aren't producing NFL talent. At the level that some of the, you know, like the Alabamas and the LSUs of the world are. I mean, LSU produces a ton of NFL talent, and look what they do every year. There's a reason why their head coach was fired. So I don't think that saying that just because you're not producing NFL talent doesn't equate to, you know, not having good classes or not being able to coach. Because the other thing about Charlie Strong is when he took the Louisville job, his first 2 years at Louisville, he went 7-6. Third year, guess what he did? 11-2. So to sit back and say 3 years isn't enough of a sample size, he did it at Louisville. He went 11-2 in his third year.
But
so why isn't that good enough at a
Louisville
better school like Texas?
Louisville set the table for him because of the fact that coming into him when he took over for Bobby Petrino, he didn't have to take a step back. Petrino, because of the offense.
He went 7-6 that year.
But it doesn't matter. He was laying the foundation because he was bringing the talent in. If you go look at what I was talking about in terms of recruiting classes, if you're telling me that UT was producing all these guys, but that doesn't equate to good college program, if you're getting 7 to 10 guys drafted in the first 3 to 5 rounds of the NFL draft, you've got enough talent that you should be winning. And if Mac Brown wasn't doing that, and then you come in and take over that program, you have to start over. In A&M, like I mentioned to you several times, Mike Sherman, an ex-NFL guy, had loaded the deck for A&M before he left and turned it over to Kevin Sumlin. Kevin Sumlin didn't have to take a step back. He started from there and then continued to build. That's why it's easier, and you can have a better sample size when that's the landscape. When you're starting from behind the eight ball because Mac left you nothing, it's harder to do.
I'll just say that Kevin Sumlin in his second year regressed to 9-4.
You're looking at just records.
And then his third
you're not
year,
looking
he went to
at
8-5.
Building the foundation as these young guys are developing once you get them in the program.
All right. I'm just telling you, man, you can't say it both ways. You can't go, well, Charlie Strong hasn't had enough time, but then in his third year in Louisville, he's producing at a clip
I
of 11-2.
Can because Petrino left him players. At Texas.
He left them a 7-6 squad, basically.
He left them Teddy Bridgewater, didn't he?
He's 7-6.
He left them Teddy Bridgewater, didn't he?
Who he went 7-6 with 2 years in a row.
Teddy Bridgewater played behind guys until he got the opportunity, and then when he got the chance to shine, he was bright.
All right. I'm going off of facts, which is 7-6.
I'm going off of facts, too, and I'm not basing off of records. I'm talking about talent.
Well, again, like I said earlier, I think way too many people put too much stock into recruiting classes, grades, based off of rivals or whoever else does it.
There you go. You guys can have an opinion, too. We're here for you till 4 o'clock, 713-780-ESPN. The board is starting to load up. And, Kurt Lowe, I see you. We will get to you and more. ESPN 97.5 FM.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.